call to order. The Health and Social Services Committee order at this time at 1:30, and we have all members present. We have Vice Chair Joe Pastan and Senator Dyson, Senator Ellis, Senator Thomas, Eddie Davis. And welcome to you in the audience. We're glad to have you here. We only have one bill to come before us today, and we'll be in a very timely order and get started with that. I also want to recognize that are helping us from the LIO office. We have Shannon. And we have today, Medicare coverage for nurses. It expires Senator Ellis. He has his South
Madam Chair, thank you. If it's okay, I'll present from here and have Mr. Hensley there at the table. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee, and all the folks here in the Butrovich room. Appreciate the opportunity to present this legislation to you, especially to you, Senator Davis, for scheduling the bill, and also to Senators Davis, Thomas, and Pastan for co-sponsoring the legislation. For the record, I'm Senator Johnny Ellis, Senate District L, which is downtown and midtown Anchorage. And again, this is Mr. Hensley, who's helping me with the legislation. Madam Chair, in your packet is an opinion piece I wrote, authored for, and was published in the Senior Voice, the statewide newspaper for senior citizens from Older Persons Action Group this past fall, which tells the, what I thought was a pretty striking story of a man who walked into my office nearly 2 years ago now and threatened to commit suicide after his interaction with the Medicaid Adult Dental Office, or maybe it was about a year ago. He had qualified for dentures under the program, but had been told that he had a choice. He could either have his uppers or his lowers, with the other half to be installed the following year. He was, as a senior citizen, and I think as a veteran who had served the country in some capacity, felt humiliated by that. Those were the directions under the existing program and regulations from that department, so everybody was doing their job adequately, maybe with not with the best bedside manner. Last year, I was proud to vote along. I believe all of them are the sunset on the successful program that has been restorative. We all know that good dental health overall is doing well, and that we are. However, when the bill came to the body, I raised the story of a man who was suicidal there in my office. I was asked not to tell him that I honored that response as a member of the other office. But I promised that if the solution in that time would be in that legislation, I would set out to see regulatory changes to the solution. Allowing patients to receive a full set of doses at one time is crucial to their oral health and will reduce the impact of Medicaid patients from Alaska's Minute. Here with us today are members of the Alaska's Minute community. We'll hear from them in just a moment, I hope, including Dr. Dave Logan, representing the Alaska Dental Society, and Dr. Dirk Menard, calling in from Fairbanks on teleconference. Also in your packet, you'll find letters of support from a wide variety of providers, and I've been very gratified with the folks that have come forward very quickly with their support, including AARP Alaska, the Alaska Primary Care Association, Alaska Public Health Association, the state's Joint Advocacy Boards, Commission on Aging, Mental Health Trust Authority, Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, and the Brain Injury Network. So what exactly does this bill do? The shortest description of the legislation is that it allows patients who are eligible for dentures under the Medicaid Adult Dental Program to essentially forward fund the complete set of dentures. Current law limits patients to $1,150 in preventative or restorative services per year, a cap which was designed to cover one half of a set of dentures. And in testimony before this committee in 2006, the designers of the program stated their intention that a patient would receive their uppers on June 30th and their lowers on the first day of the next fiscal year, or July 1st. That has not proved to be practical. Some folks predicted that it would not be practical, but we now have the experience to know that it doesn't really work very well for the state, for the dentist, or the patient. Dental emergencies cannot be scheduled around the state's fiscal calendar, and patients are suffering and dentists are being inconvenienced by this rule. Now, we're talking about the same amount of money, but it would be 2 years of benefit in a single fiscal year rather than the benefit divided and spread over two fiscal years. This is the kind of frustrating situation that gives government and state agencies a bad name. So hopefully we can come together on this legislation and serve everyone's interest. To be clear, this does not increase the total amount of benefits a patient is eligible for. We're not granting anything additional in terms of the benefit, but it allows the patient to access the funding they would have received next year in the current year in order to complete a relatively expensive procedure in the most medically effective and most cost-effective way. So everybody benefits, the dentist, the patient, the state. I would appreciate your support and passage of the bill. And Madam Chair, I've spoken more than I intended, and there are folks that would like to testify in support of the bill when you're ready. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we call up people to testify, I forgot to mention that we do have a new person working in my office, and Celeste Hart. I wanted everybody to know that she's going to be my new person for Health and Social Services, and we're glad to have you aboard. I don't have a list of people that's testifying here. We're going to call up Maureen Doring. Maureen, yes. Welcome, Maureen.
Coordinator for the Capital Food Task Force of AARP. And we want to add our support to this bill, which we feel is really necessary. And as Senator Ellis has said, has already shown that it is needed in order to actually be to make sense for both the clients and the providers of this. And so there's not really much sense in trying to add much more, other than it's been proven, of course, that dentures are helpful to our good health and many other reasons. So we just want to say that we add our support, and you have a letter of support from us in your file. And if there's anything more we can do to help, just let us know.
Thank you very much. Any questions of Dawn? No questions? Yes. Senator Dyson?
Do you have somebody signed up from the administration?
I will go. I'll call them up next.
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
I'm going to do that. Sure. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Anybody want to testify from the Department of Division of Health and Social Services, come forward? State your name for the record.
For the record, my name is Brad Whistler. I'm the dental officer for Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. The department conceptually likes the idea of this bill in relation to denture services for adult Medicaid recipients. For adult needing an upper and lower denture, the services would typically be done at the same time in dental offices, which is usually how the services are provided. The department had noted with implementation of adult preventive and restorative services in the Medicaid program, recipients might time an upper and lower denture at the end of one fiscal year and have the other denture seen at the beginning of the other fiscal year, and were aware of circumstances where that did not occur timing-wise and clients had to wait for an extended period of time to get the opposing denture. The bill, if passed, would no longer require recipients or dental providers to provide an upper and lower denture within that short time frame.
and to utilize the annual limit over a two-year period to provide the services. Further, department has heard examples of recipients delaying extractions when they can't get the opposing denture within that time period. That often results in bringing them back in for oral surgery, sometime with sedation or general anesthesia costs for doing that. The department, however, is noting the likelihood of increased expenditures for accelerating the annual limit in providing these services, and further is concerned about the administrative costs to implement the program. Dental services and the prior authorization process by which we track the annual limit are both based on a state fiscal year. So implementing these services is going to require manually tracking recipients that have received the services, accounting for the annual limit over the two-year period to ensure that they're not getting additional services in that following state fiscal year. Because of these concerns, the department is not taking a position of support or opposition to the bill. Administrative costs for implementing the changes reflecting the bill could be reduced by eliminating partial dentures from the exception of the 1,150 annual limit. The department will continue to look at the cost of the services and try and find ways to reduce the administrative burden for implementation of these services. However, at this time, the estimates are as outlined in the fiscal note provided for this bill.
Thank you. Other, yes, Senator.
Through the chair, Senator Dyson. When this bill was first conceptually proposed, we looked at a variety of levels in the annual limit. And sort of what drove the process was the expenditure estimates for the bill and the decision to have enough in there to cover an upper or lower denture. That was generally how we arrived at the initial annual limit for the program, to ensure that it covered at least an upper or lower denture within a given fiscal year. Of course, you know, in terms of timing, and especially in the first year of the program where this was implemented in the fourth quarter of the 2007 fiscal year, there were clients that didn't get services in time to get the one denture done and then found themselves at the beginning of the state fiscal year where they'd spent their annual limit early in that year and were going to have to wait for the following state fiscal year to get the other denture.
I appreciate it. Yeah, let me blow up with a couple of questions here. Yeah. Respectfully begs the real question. I suspect all dental experts, including you, think that having the option of getting them both done at the same time serves the client's interest best. How the heck did we get into doing a program that is suboptimal for the patient client just because of our administrative problems? Seems wrong-headed.
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, in terms of looking at this, part of the decision, again, was looking at the expenditures for the program. The other part in terms of how this bill that was set up is there's nothing that precluded a client getting the opposing denture within that time frame. It's just that the Medicaid program was not going to pay for it. So they're not prohibited from doing it. It's just that they've exhausted their annual limit in the program, and so Medicaid's not going to reimburse for that opposing denture.
If I may follow up. So are you saying that the way that the federal program is administered is what kept us from doing what was optimum for the patient?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, no, that is not true. All of these services within this program are optional services for the state to provide. So it's not federal law that was driving that decision. It really was looking at a balancing act of trying to expand services but do so in a way that we were controlling expenditures, and this is one of the ways that we did it. So we were looking at all the umbrella services in the dental program, not specific to dentures, but that's really what drove the annual limit, was that coverage for one denture. Now, if we would have started at the outset in terms of trying to address this situation, we would have been looking at an annual limit of, you know, $2,400 per year.
Or, as Senator Ellis has done, $2,300 over 2 years, which even the budget notes here say should kind of net out, which I thought was a genius idea, an obvious one. I'd like it if you'd allow me a little bit of leeway here, Madam Chair. I perhaps obviously in the midst of some reconstructive dental work and got me intrigued. But what I found out was that, for instance, dental implants, which can keep people from having to have partial plates and arguably can be a good solution, are not covered. And even if the medical provider thinks it's the best solution, and do we not allow a patient to be able to get whatever the benefit was that the state would provide and then make up the difference themselves for a more optimal treatment on any dental services?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson. In terms of the program and the balancing acts of costs of implementing these services, there were several approaches. One is that it's a specific appropriation for these services so that it's monitored more carefully, the annual limit, and we were also given direction to look at what services we would cover. As you mentioned, we don't cover implant services. That's not the only services that we don't cover. Another example would be we're covering periodontal maintenance in terms of scaling of teeth, but we're not covering periodontal surgery. In terms of doing root canals, we will do a root canal, but we don't pay for a surgery by which they would cap the end of the tooth as an endodontic procedure. So there was a balancing act with the different dental procedures of deciding what we would cover and those that we would not. And in relation to implant services, the decision was financially that we weren't going to move into implant services for coverage in the Medicaid program.
Yeah. So just a final question, if I may. So why not then, in this case, without the implant, requires a bridge, which we do pay for. Why not let the program supply the money that the bridge would have provided and let the patient pay the delta for the more optimal service?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, typically most of the Medicaid program is managed by services provided. And so, you know, to go in with just an open-ended amount in the annual limit to cover services wasn't really an approach that was considered for implementation of these services. But I'd highlight, as you mentioned, for a bridge, which typically you're talking about three different units at minimum in terms of a bridge, this annual limit would not entirely cover a three-unit bridge. So, I mean, there's other examples in the program where the idea was to expand the services that were available, which were fairly limited for adults in the Medicaid program, so that they could get more services, move more towards prevention and routine restoration, and yet at the same time balance that we weren't covering everything. And there was anticipation that in some of these levels there would be a payment by the recipient once they've exhausted their annual limit.
So my question was, why not let the client patient get the benefit of what the state has agreed to pay and allow the client patient, in concert with their doc, to pay for the delta to get a superior service? Why not do that? Who loses if we did that?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, I guess I don't know that I have a better answer for that. It's not the approach that was considered in implementing these services. What you're talking about would be basically just putting a fixed dollar amount there that's available to any client for dental services.
Dental services.
All right, thank you for your answer. I see Mr. Sherwood is here. Would you like to speak to the issue?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, Senator Dyson, the approach you're describing wouldn't be allowed under federal law without some kind of waiver. When we looked at the at adding a dental option, we didn't look at trying to do a waiver. Basically, under the Medicaid program, we have to define the procedures we're going to cover, and we pay for the cost of that covering those procedures. We were allowed to set a dollar limit on the amount of money we spent for dental services. Even that was something we required clarification from the federal government that was permissible if we were going to put a service in our state plan. But it doesn't essentially allow the rules of the program without waiver do not allow us to simply provide a dollar value for general services. We have to define the services we're going to cover and then pay for those services. So we can't If we were going to cover those services, we would have to include all those services in coverage and then just say this is the dollar limit. And I think the belief at the time was that would create more demand for dental services than was within the budget, the target budget for the initial legislation that added this benefit.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for allowing me that freedom.
You're quite welcome. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I too was a little surprised by the fiscal note and curious as to why no offset in 2012. I realize that we doubled up. You're assuming you double up in 2011. But why wouldn't it be offset in 2012 by that amount? Or am I reading something incorrectly here?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, what we were looking at is that for the fiscal years that we've had the program in place, denture expenditures each year has been increasing. And so there would be an acceleration, you know, of more expenditures in that first year as people got an upper or lower denture. At the same time, there's still new individuals coming into the program. So it was generally felt that 1 year may not be adequate to fully meet the unmet demand for denture services that are out there. Additionally, different things are going on in the program. With complete dentures, once you've done a complete denture, there's adjustments to do later, but you're not redoing a denture right away. In the case of partial dentures are often an alternative to doing crown and bridge work. So, and often it's less expensive. If you were looking at doing bridges on both sides of the mouth and the same jaw, a partial denture might be less expensive and more affordable to a Medicaid recipient. So they may actually continue to see more partial dentures each year in the program. And then it was felt by the third year that we would see an offset and the fiscal note would drop down to zero in terms of the denture expenditures in the program.
And a second question on the second fiscal note, I was concerned there a little bit as well. Did you look at redoing the computer program to maybe assist in some of the tracking of this as well as the reviewing of the patient's previous history? Seems to me to go forward spending that kind of money, you know, if the bill passed, it would be worthwhile exploring the concept of what it would cost rather than spending $170,000 a year for however many years into the future.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas.
I'm not sure if it's your. I'm assuming it's the HSS program is something that you guys had developed to do this, so it's not something that was put upon you by the federal folks or anything like that.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas. No, this is not a federal issue in terms of what we're looking at. That the entire claims processing system in terms of the services and how this has been set up with what we could do to track the annual limit is based on the state fiscal year. So in terms of reprogramming the system for a separate set of dental services that works different from the rest of the program probably would be expensive. I would have to defer to John if that was actually looked at in terms of what the programming costs would be. But we're assuming at least at the outset of these services that it would be a manual process.
And through the chair, again, this is John Sherwood with the Department of Health and Social Services. Senator Thomas, our claims processing system for Medicaid we purchased in 1987. It started in paying claims in 1989. We have looked at making changes. We do not yet have a solution for modifying that system to do this at this point. We are continuing to look to see if we can figure out how to do it. It's an old system. We're actually in the process of attempting to replace it, but it's an old system. It's not a relational database, and my understanding is modifications at this level are complicated and expensive, but we actually haven't let go of the idea that it might be doable. If we can find a solution that is better than the one we've proposed here, we will let folks know. But at this time, the manual solution we have proposed is what we know we can do. I think we're reluctant to take it on faith that we can change this whole system.
And with that thought in mind, and maybe if Dr. Logan is going to testify later, there was some discussion about electronic claims versus manual claims and that type of thing. It would seem to me that if this is yet another issue with the system that's in place, and there are some with the dentist and the department as far as the filing of claims, and electronic seems to be the way of the future, that we might be looking more to exact to do that, to look at the system itself, so we can avoid some of the problems of claims going back and forth, and there's a disagreement over who's making a mistake on the interpretation of the claims and that type of thing. So, like I said, maybe Dr. Logan, if he is going to testify, will comment on that, because we'd like to see it as efficient a system as possible and as all-encompassing, so we don't run into more problems and then go through these types of explanations in the future as well. So, but thank you for your explanation on my other questions. So.
Thank you very much. Yes, Senator Taskband.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The numbers that are in the fiscal note, are those solely for the dentures?
Through the chair, Senator Taskband. That's correct. What we've estimated is looking at the cost of implementing these for complete and partial dentures.
Has not been included in here the expected savings, for example, in travel expense?
Through the chair, Senator Passman, that's correct. I mentioned in my in earlier testimony there are areas of potential savings to other parts of the Medicaid program. One of those would be transportation expenses if the client is traveling for these services. If it's a repeated oral surgery to remove remaining, a second oral surgery to remove remaining teeth for the place, that would be another area of savings for the Medicaid program as a whole. This is reflective of the denture services, and as John can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but being a separate appropriation, actually, those transportation savings would be to a different funding source in the Medicaid program than what we're talking about for these enhanced dental services for adults.
Is it quite likely that the transportation services and emergency room expenses would overwhelm the numbers that are in the fiscal note?
Through the chair, Senator Passman, it would be speculation on my part in terms of, you would hope that in terms of doing the oral surgery, if there are other teeth that were nearing, having problems to the point of going to emergency room, that they would extract those at the same time. But I really can't speak to that level of detail of what's going on in the program.
Very much. Was that conflicted testimony? Thank you. Dr. Logan?
Good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is David Logan. I'm right here representing the Alaska Dental Society, and I'm a practicing dentist here in Juneau. First of all, I'd like to, start by thanking Senator Ellis for sponsoring this bill and the rest of the committee members that have co-sponsored there, as well as the companion bill over on the House side. My only regret at this point to this bill, and I think Senator Ellis did an excellent job of explaining it, so I will not attempt to add to his explanation of the bill there. My only regret is I wish we'd thought of it. There, it's an elegant solution to a problem that has existed for some time now, one that I think is fair to the state, it's fair to the providers that are providing dental services under the Medicaid program, and especially I think it's a great program for the recipients. We're, as providers, and I am one of the providers in Southeast that does Medicaid services for dentures, frequently we've been put into the uncomfortable position of between ourselves and the patient deciding which arch we're going to do. Are we going to give them upper teeth or are we going to give them lower teeth? And it's a decision I hate to make. The patients turn to me for guidance, and you look at a case where a patient has either no teeth whatsoever remaining, or they have two hopeless sets of dentition there. They have a hopeless set of uppers and a hopeless set of lowers. There's not an easy decision to make, and there simply isn't a crystal ball that exists that lets you look at a situation like that and decide which is the better arch. It's a very, very difficult situation. as a provider here in Southeast, I see patients from other communities that are sent in by the, as a provider that will do this there. The travel costs to come in for a set of dentures are not small. It's a multi-step procedure, several follow-up visits generally, and by the time you fly somebody in from another community and put them up in a hotel, the travel costs ultimately wind up dwarfing the cost of the denture by several factors. I had a patient that I saw last year from Sitka. Sitka wasn't actually his residence. He was down visiting his daughter in Sitka. He normally lives up in the interior. He had no access to Medicaid services in the community he lived in, so they sent him over from Sitka for myself to make a set of dentures for him, or make a denture, as it turned out, for him there, that the Medicaid would cover. I talked with him, nice fellow, felt bad for him in his situation, said, well, let me see if there's anything I can do about this. I actually wrote a letter to the Medicaid division explaining the situation, explaining that the travel costs would be several factors over what the ultimate cost of the denture was going to be there, and asking if there was a way, considering that we could go ahead and do both arches. I received a polite letter back from the division basically explaining the situation, that their hands were tied under statute there and regulation, and that there was nothing they could do there. Ultimately, I elected, given the circumstances there, to do both sets for, and they received reimbursement for one, asked my lab for a break on the lab bill for the other one there, and just provided both sets of dentures to them. To review a couple of things that came on earlier testimony, Senator Thomas brought up a case there with things working in the electronic claims, which certainly are not the wave of the future. They're here. There, I mean, it's a pretty rare day we do written claims, except for maybe the most complex ones. One thing I didn't hear from the division, and I think would be an interesting response, is I know they're in the process of developing a new computer system. I wonder if it would be still possible at this date, given the fact that the session has a couple of months, hopefully, there to run there. If it would be possible, since implementation of the system won't be coming immediately, if it would be possible to include this in the new computer system that they're undergoing. And the other would be a factor that Senator Peskovin brought up there. It's kind of the hidden cost that you see with dentures. The travel that I alluded to, where if you're talking about multi-step appointments and you're consolidating into one, we certainly wouldn't see savings in the travel costs under this fiscal year. But as a carry forward, you have to believe that there's going to be substantial savings involved in that. And the other is the hidden costs of retaining hopeless teeth in there, the ER visits, which are very expensive. I'm not here to say that dentistry is cheap by any stretch of the imagination. We all know it's expensive. But if you compare it to what it costs to go into the ER, even for a single visit, that can cover the cost of a denture right there. And so I can't help but wonder if you start looking at patients who are in services like that, typically they're winding up on antibiotics, pain medication, many other factors there, that ultimately by doing both sets of dentures at once, if we won't realize the cost savings even within that own fiscal year. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Mr. Ellis?
Madam Chair, I just want to thank Dr. Logan for being with us today. And he had shared with me previously the information about multiple airline flights, multiple hotel stays, multiple cab fares. I'm based on his testimony and some other testimony I think we'll hear through the process, I'm going to ask the department to figure out a way to reflect the cost savings. Even if it's not to this portion of the budget, there's got to be a way. We all know, based on common sense and based on this testimony, that there's significant savings that the state will realize if this were to become law. So there's got to be some way to reflect, even if it's speculative, in this fiscal note for the cost savings that this legislation could engender. So thank you for your testimony. I appreciate that.
And through the chair, thank you, Senator Ellis.
Anyone else? No,
thank you.
Thank you. We'll go off-site, go online. And is Dr. Bernard online?
I'm here.
Dr. Bernard?
Yes.
You can hear him.
I can't hardly hear. I don't know. What's the problem? Would you speak again?
Yes, hello.
That's better.
I'm here.
Who is I?
This is Kirk Bernard.
Okay. Would you like to testify?
Sure, yeah. I'm just calling. I got a little text over here. So. I was just calling for an app still. It just makes sense to do both sets of entries at one time. A lot of times we'll end up taking an upper set and finding out that it's in the wrong position, the lower set, which in turn you have to redo the whole process. So just from a clinical standpoint and a fiscal standpoint, it makes sense. And I would just like to offer and answer any questions that anybody has.
Okay, thank you very much. Timothy Ellis has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Menard, thanks for being with us today. Several of us here served with your dad and appreciate your testimony today. Seems to me that it would be difficult to effectively chew food if you had no teeth and just were given an upper or lower set of dentures. Can people actually chew their food? I think the guy that came to my office threatening to commit suicide, there was the effect of the humiliation of being able to or being forced to choose between uppers and lowers, but he kept on talking about how do they expect me to chew food if I just have the uppers or the lowers. Can people actually chew food with just one, with half a set of dentures?
Not very. What I've experienced is people would rather wear no dentures than one denture at all. What ends up happening is the second set of dentures actually ends up holding the upper set of dentures in, so there's less likely that their denture will fall out, which leads to obvious social stress. It helps in articulating two students together when you have both sets. Obviously, there's a tension when people lose their teeth, it's 10 centers towards your nose. And to get that dimension correct is much better to do both sets at the same time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, we thank you for your testimony.
You.
Is Jim Tower there? Is anyone else there? Denise, would you like to come forward and testify for us?
Sure, thank you.
Go.
Good afternoon. My name is Denise Daniello, and I'm Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Aging. And I want to thank Senator Ellis and all the other co-sponsors on this important legislation for putting this forward. We believe that this bill will really help to improve the health and wellness of older Alaskans because eating is something that's very important. We've been a strong proponent of legislation for the Medicaid Adult Dental Program since this whole program began back in 2006, and we worked to support the reauthorization of this program last year. The Medicaid Adult Dental Program helps many low-income seniors who live with a variety of painful and destructive dental problems who would otherwise not be able to afford the routine visits and dentures. And as has been said earlier, studies have shown the link between oral health and chronic disease. Older adults are at high risk for dental decay that have been associated with periodontal disease, diabetes, pneumonia, and other chronic diseases, including cardiovascular disease. Some medications that seniors take decrease the saliva. Their dental health as well. So for seniors, the inability to chew food properly, of course, can lead to chronic malnutrition. But furthermore, those with ill-fitting dentures or no dentures or missing teeth, as I think has been mentioned before, can make a person feel very self-conscious and dissuade them from avoiding opportunities for social engagement. And that's so essential for seniors to maintain their physical and their mental health. We received some data based on Medicaid claims information for seniors age 16 years and older who use this program, and found that a total of 3,104, which is an unduplicated count of seniors, have utilized the Medicaid Adult Dental Program from April 1st, 2007 through December 31st, 2009. And of this number, 1,200 seniors, or 39%, and again, that's an unduplicated count, received dentures. The average cost for a partial denture for an upper was quoted as $1,085. For a lower, it's $1,125, and approximately $2,225 for a complete set of dentures. So this falls right under the cap, the current cap for the two-year access, which is $2,200. So as we definitely support this bill. We ask for your consideration of our recommendations for future thinking about improving the adult dental Medicaid program. For one, would be to allow eligible patients access to 2 years of total funding if they receive partial dentures, so that in the event that they need additional denture services, they would be able to get that under the current program. Secondly, pending approval of Senate Bill 199 and its successful implementation, to begin work with the department to consider expanding the two-year access to cover other services that are included under the Adult Medicaid Dental Program. So that would address some of Senator Dyson's concerns about being able to access other services such as root canals, crowns, and even dental exams. And at some time to consider adjusting the current cap, because it's set at $1,150. This amount has been set in statute for the last 3 years. And as we all know, medical costs, like other costs, continue to rise. And so at some point, we should look at addressing this cost. So the commission definitely supports Senate Bill 199 and believes that this will help older Alaskans, as well as many other vulnerable Alaskans who need dentures. And it does address, as I think somebody, as Senator Ellis mentioned earlier, one of the four joint advocacy priorities of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, the Alaska Mental Health Board, the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, and the Alaska Commission on Aging. So I'm open for any questions.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience to testify on this bill? Is there anybody online?
No.
We'll close testimony at this time. There's no other public testimony. We've had some good testimony. The committee has other letters of support that they have in their packages. This is a good piece of legislation, and I wanted to here just as soon as we could. It is my intention to move this out of this committee to finance where it needs to be, so that they can have plenty of time to work out a solution for this bill to pass this session. If you have any closing comments from committee members, I'd like to hear that now, but I want to take this opportunity to thank Senator Ellis for bringing it forward, and also the department for your input. And I know that you will monitor this bill and make sure that we find out exactly how well it's working and what adjustments that need to be made, and hope you will help us move this bill forward so that we can provide the service that's needed for the people that need it. Any other comments at this time? You any closing comments?
Just as a closing comment, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I am a co-sponsor on this bill, and I do also thank Senator Ellis for this. And I believe that the two issues that is before this committee really does come down to, one, the offset, and I think that over a two-year period of time, in my mind, that does equal out, and if there are new people entering the system, they would be entering the system anyway. The second issue after the offset is a savings, and I think when one looks at the cost of travel and rooms and the other savings in the form of medical costs, I just think that this is the right answer at the right time, and I like the bill.
Yes, Senator Dyson?
Yeah. We in this committee have the authority to alter the fiscal note. And I think some excellent points have come up here. And I would suggest to both you, the chair, and the prime sponsor, that we think a bit and maybe take the and alter this fiscal note before we send it out of here, and while it's in our purview, and make it a whole lot easier for the Finance Committee to do their business. I just encourage you to think about that. I would like to them to not have the easy excuse of what may be an overstated fiscal note here. And part of that fiscal note anticipated the increase in number of people signing up, which has nothing to do with the bill. So the fiscal note is misleading in certainly in one and maybe more than one. And I'd encourage you to think about doing the bill and the people a favor by altering the fiscal note before you send it out, respectfully.
Thanks for your statement there. I think there will be some adjustments made. I think it can have enough in finance. I'm sure the sponsor of this bill is in finance, and I'm sure that he will do whatever he needs to do to make sure that note gets changed. We won't have to do that in health and social services. We'll just stick to our part of it and let the finance part happen up there,
Madam Chair, with respect for Senator Dyson's comments, I wish I were capable of doing that in a way that did not offend the folks at Hess and got us further down the road. I have some discomfort from the numbers they put forward. I think it's their best effort. I think they're still working on it. I've made a request here through the committee process for them to accommodate either or in some way in this fiscal note of the savings that common sense tells us will be there. But I don't feel qualified to make that adjustment here. But I think it will happen. I am not of the mind that finance would use this note as an excuse not to hear the bill or consider it. I think it has such, you know, attraction just on its face that I think it will get a hearing there, and I think we will work together at that level. It's one thing for me to ask the department to rethink their fiscal note and the savings that should be reflected here along with their administrative costs and whether it's going to be manual or through their antiquated system, which is a bigger issue for another day. It's quite another when the co-chair of finance says this fiscal note does not make sense to me or the entire committee. So I think there's more good work to be done there. So I want to respect their efforts to date. Don't feel qualified to make those adjustments myself. I wouldn't know which how to change those numbers here at this table that would be, a good work product for this committee. But I take that suggestion very seriously, and I think that that will happen at the next stage of the process.
Thank you. What do I hear from Vice Chair?
I would move that I haven't done this since last April, so
you're a little rough.
That we advance Senate Bill 199 and vote on and with attached fiscal note.
And individual recommendations.
And individual recommendations there, too.
All right. What's the wishes of the Chair? Would you like the roll to be called? Everybody vote yes, or?
You can just say been moved, seconded. Any objection?
Not objection.
Any objection to that? Hearing none, so moved. Everybody will sign the list before you leave.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good job, John.
Thank you for your comments.
Okay. So, let's see if we can choose a recommendation.